I forgot to introduce myself. I'm the pistol packing parson. They call me the sinister minister. And this is Sunwest Roundup. We're going to have a good time. Doesn't this look great? Thank you. I worked real hard on that. I appreciate it. All the carpentry, the building, all this is primarily Mike Nelson and Larry Sparks, and we appreciate those guys for doing all this work. We know a lot of you have helped decorate the whole building. If you hadn't seen the building, be sure you see it before you leave this morning, because it looks great, and we appreciate all of you who've worked so hard to get everything decorated. It really looks good. We want to take a time to just maybe have a time of prayer for those of you who are going to be working in Vacation Bible School this week. This is something we do every year. It's kind of a commissioning time, a dedication time. And so if you are planning on working in Vacation Bible School in any way this week, you're going to walk a group around, you're going to work in the kitchen, you're going to do Bible stories or rec, or if you're going to help in any way, or if you have already been up here working in some way for Vacation Bible School, would y'all just come and let's line up here at the altar and let me lead us in a prayer for you. Ask God's blessing on you as we enter into the time of VBS. Come, if you have worked this past week or you're about to get started the week to come, if you come down and let us pray with you, we'd be honored to do that. That's great. Thank y'all so much for the work that you're putting in. I want you to know that we don't take your sacrifice lightly, and it makes a difference. I want you to know that it makes a big difference in the lives of the kids, but also in our witness to our community. When the community sees how much we love kids, how much we love families, how much we love the Lord and willing to work, it makes a big difference. So thank you for what you're doing. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for these who have committed so much of themselves toward loving on kids and teaching them about Jesus. They do that in a variety of different ways. Some will be serving meals. Some will be teaching a lesson. Some will be walking with kids from one place to the next. And some will be playing games. There's so many different ways. But God, we know you're going to use every one of them to demonstrate the love of Christ and to help bring a kid farther along in their walk with you. And because of that, we're grateful. I pray, Lord, that you'd protect their health, that you'd protect their strength. Lord, that you'd help them to have an exciting and fun and stress-free week. We pray, Lord, that you would work in a miraculous and marvelous way here during this week, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for it. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, folks.
Yeehaw! We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride with Jesus Christ. Round up your friends, we're on a quest, we're heading out in the wild, wild west. Just like folks in olden days, we're gonna follow God together. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's all meet at the Sunwest Roundup. Stomp your feet and shout,
yeehaw!
Saddle up for the Sunwest Roundup. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride. Bring your friends to the Sunwest Roundup. Grab your hat and shout,
yeehaw!
Get along to the Sunwest Roundup. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride with Jesus Christ.
Yeehaw!
Come on now. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride with Jesus Christ. Round up your friends, we're on a quest, we're heading out in the wild, wild west. Just like folks in olden days, we're gonna follow God together. Jesus Christ is the same,
yesterday, today, and forever. Let's all meet at the Sunwest Roundup. Stop your feet and shout.
Yeehaw!
Saddle up for the Sunwest Roundup. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride. Bring your friends to the Sunwest Roundup. Grab your hat and shout.
Yeehaw!
Get along to the Sunwest Roundup. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride with Jesus Christ.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it? That's our theme song for the week. It's, you know, when I first heard it, I thought about we're gonna ride with Jesus. What does that mean? I don't know that Jesus ever put on chaps and a hat and rode a horse. We're going to ride with Jesus. The more I thought about it, it's just a way of saying we're going to live life with him, right? We use the term walk. We're going to walk with Jesus. And you know, truth is, most of us don't walk a whole lot. We don't really mean walk, we mean live. Same thing when we talk about we're going to ride with Jesus Christ. It's just another fun way of saying we're gonna share life. My life is gonna be his life now. He's gonna live through me, and that's gonna be that way forever. That's what we're gonna be talking about this week. We're gonna talk about how that ride can last forever. And I was kind of encouraged when I found out that the well-known, well-respected, well-loved theologian Roy Rogers had a prayer about that very thing. You remember Roy Rogers? He used this prayer at all his Writers Club meetings. Oh Lord, I reckon I'm not much just by myself. I fail to do a lot of things I ought to do. But Lord, when trails are steep and passes high, help me ride it straight the whole way through. And when in the falling dusk I get the final call, I do not care how many flowers they send. Above all else, the happiest trail would be for you to say to me, let's ride, my friend. Amen. I think he kind of picked up on something there, don't you? When this life is over, wouldn't it be great if we got to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or, as Roy put it, let's ride, my friend. Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of relationship with the Lord? That we know he's with us every step along the way in this journey. And when this journey is over, hey, the great adventure just begins. And we get to take it together. If you've got your Bible with you, look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 8. I want to show you some of the things that we're going to be doing this week. And the best place to start is right there in Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 8. There's a great statement by the author of Hebrews. It sums up the Bible, really, to a large degree. You look in Hebrews 13 at verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is. And we could stop at that word right there. Those first three words, Jesus Christ is. In a way, that sums it all up, because he is always present tense. See, it's not that we used to have God or that we used to have Jesus. He is. It's not only that he's with us today, but he's going to be with us tomorrow. And tomorrow is present tense for him as well. He's not bound by time. So tomorrow he is as well. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, that's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to look at how he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the way we're going to do that is by looking at some of the ways that God worked through his people in the Old Testament and then through Jesus and in our lives. And we're going to start on tomorrow morning. We're going to start looking at God's ultimate plan. And when we look at his ultimate plan, we're going to think together about the way that the Israelites, God's people, wound up in Egypt. You remember? They wound up in Egypt and they needed help to get out of Egypt. Well, what if it was time to get them out of Egypt and there was nobody there to help them? What a terrible experience that would have been. What a terrible tragedy it would have been. Well, God knew that was going to happen before it happened. Why? Because he always is, right? The one who was, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, he always is. When Moses asked him, "What's your name?" he said, "I am," present tense. Because he is not bound by time, he knew what would happen to his people in Egypt, and he had a plan. His plan is described for us in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. And that plan was that Moses was born. Moses is born. You remember when he's born, they had to hide him. They had to hide him so Pharaoh and those bad guys wouldn't come get him. They put him in a little basket and hid him in the weeds over there. You remember? And then he winds up being found, taken care of. Is that right? Did God have a plan? He had an ultimate plan, so he took care. He took care of his people even before a need arose because he had a plan. We're going to look at the story, and then we're going to go over and we're going to find out that God had a plan through Jesus as well. Because, you know, after God created man, he created man to enjoy relationship with God and to be a recipient of God's love. But man messed all that up. And when man messed all that up, it interfered with the relationship that God intended for us to have with him. But you know, that didn't surprise him. He knew that was going to happen. And he had a plan for it. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, the plan was in place before the need became obvious. And so then Galatians says that in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus. It was just at the right time. God decided when that time was, when his plan was being fulfilled. When his people, when the Israelites needed someone to be there to lead them, to take care of them, to save them, somebody was ready because God had a plan. When you and I needed a Savior, we needed somebody to rescue us, to help us, to lead us, to feed us, to save us. There was somebody there because God had a plan. And tomorrow we're going to look at both of those aspects of God's ultimate plan. And it gets summed up for us in that verse that we all grew up hearing and learning and loving. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a plan. God has an ultimate plan. And he sent Moses to take care of those folks. He sent Jesus to take care of us. All part of the plan. But you know, you can have a plan, but if you don't have any power to carry out that plan, then that plan is basically worthless. And so on Tuesday, we're going to look at how God has ultimate power. Not only does he have an ultimate plan, but he also has ultimate power. Moses grows up a little bit. God calls him. He says, okay, Moses, you're going to go and you're going to help the folks get out of Egypt. Moses says, no, I can't do that. God says, I told you you're going to do it. I mean, I'm talking to you from a burning bush, son. That tells you something's up. And he says, no, I can't do that. He says, I don't talk right. I don't look right. I can't handle that. I'm scared. I don't know enough. What am I going to tell them? God says, I'll be with you. That was his answer. Basically, what he was saying was, Moses, you're right. You don't talk right. You do look goofy. You can't handle it. But it's not about you. I'll be with you. And Moses said, they're going to ask me, what's your name? I don't even know your name. God says, I am. All you need to know is that I am. The other gods that they're going to be looking at and talking to, they aren't. Those gods out there aren't, but I am. He says, Moses, I tell you what's that in your hand, son? Moses looks, he says, it's just my stick. He says, all right, throw that stick on the ground. Moses threw a stick on the ground, and what happened? Turned into a snake. God says, Moses, pick it up. There's a lot of things I'd like to do to a snake. Picking one up ain't one of them. Pick it up. He reaches down and he picks up that snake, and what happened? Turned back into a stick. Turned back into a staff. God is saying, look, I'm showing you I got power to handle this. I got this. I'm talking to you out of a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. And I can turn your stick into a snake and back into a stick. I'm with you. I am. You see, he had a plan, but he also has the ultimate power to carry out that plan. Jesus came, and when Jesus came, there was a leper over here so sick and so unclean that nobody would talk to him. And Jesus reached out and touched him, and he's healed. There was a fella that couldn't walk, and Jesus said, boy, get up off that bed and walk. And he got up and walked and actually ran. There were some who couldn't talk, and Jesus set their tongues free. Some couldn't hear, and he opened their ears. He turned the water to wine. He walked on water. He demonstrated that he had power. And then they put him on a cross. And he died, and it was a real death. He was dead. They put him in a tomb. And on Sunday morning, they went to see him and he wasn't there. The angel said, what are you doing looking for the living among the dead? Why? Because he had the ultimate power. Not only did he create and did he create all that exists, but then he could do miracles while he walked the face of the earth. And then he conquered death itself. He had the ultimate power to carry out the ultimate plan. And so he says to us, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Ultimate power at work in our lives. Then on Wednesday we're going to look at the ultimate rescue. Moses was born in time because it was God's plan. God demonstrated his power to Moses so he would understand. And then Moses wound up going to Egypt. He wound up getting the folks ready. He talked to the big man. He said, look, fella, you better let my people go. He said, no. And then all the plagues started. Remember? Two or three times, Pharaoh would say, okay, that's enough. And then at the last second, he'd say, no, I changed my mind. Y'all can't go after all. And the next plague would hit. Plague after plague after plague. Son just would not learn. And then they got to the last one. And you remember the last one? The firstborn of every family was going to be killed. And when they decided that was the last plague, the angel of death was going to come through and kill the firstborn of every family, the message came to Moses and to the people and said, tell you what, kill a critter, take the critter's blood, put it around the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes over, he'll see that blood on your doorpost and he'll know that you belong to me, and he'll just go right over. He will pass over your house and go to the next one. Passover. It was the ultimate rescue. He passed over the people who belonged to God. Death could not touch them, could not get to them. And because of that, they were finally set free. No more slaves in Egypt. In a similar way, Jesus, right before he died, he celebrated the Passover meal. The same meal Moses and them celebrated the night before the angel of death came. He's having the same meal, same menu with his disciples. Only this time he changes it up just a little. And instead of just looking at the lamb as meat, he said, see that lamb? That's me. I am the Lamb of God. He provided a Passover opportunity. When we accept Christ and his crucifixion, when we accept what he's done for us on the cross, it is as if he marks us with his blood and the angel of death will pass over us. And we get to live forever. It's an ultimate rescue. And so Jesus taught us, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. That'll be the Bible verse that the kids learn on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we're going to go on to ultimate trust. Now, think it through. God has an ultimate plan. His plan is to send Jesus to take care of us. He's got the ultimate power to carry out that plan. And that plan includes an ultimate rescue of us. But we can turn our backs on it and walk away and never receive it. For us to experience that ultimate power, to experience that ultimate rescue, and to be a part of that ultimate plan, we have to trust. We have to trust him. There is that ultimate trust. So the Israelites get out of Egypt, and they're wandering around out there in the desert. And before long, some of them start to grumbling. Now, we know what that is, right? We can start to grumbling by 11:30 on Sunday morning if we're going a little bit long. They're out in the wilderness for days, and they're grumbling. And they're saying, man, I sure remember that good food we used to have back yonder in Egypt. Yeah, we were slaves, and they beat us up, and they hurt us, and it was no fun. But at least we got to have some food. And they go to grumbling and complaining. And God says, okay, I understand. Every evening you're going to have some quail to eat. And every morning I'm going to send manna. I'm going to send some bread out of heaven. You'll have plenty of bread every morning. Every day you wake up, you can gather that bread and it'll be good for that day. And so they go along for a little while and they got quail in the evening. They got bread in the morning and they're doing fine. And then before long, they start saying, man, It's hot out here. I can't find the water cooler. Who's got the Dr. Pepper? We're thirsty. So God says, all right, watch this. Moses, take your stick and hit that rock. Moses hit the rock and water came out of the rock. Water came out of the rock. And the reason was he saying, you can trust me. You hungry? I'll give you quail. I'll give you bread. You thirsty? I'll give you something to drink. You can trust me. I'll take care of you. And that's what Jesus came and taught his people as well. Jesus came and we learned that we could trust him, that he was going to provide for us. Jesus has a way of finding a way to take care of the people around him every day. And so on that day, the kids are going to learn this verse from John. All the verses are from John this week. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Just like God provided food and water to his people in the Old Testament, he takes care of us every day as well. You remember that great old psalm that everybody loves so much? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. What? He feeds me and he gives me drink. He takes care of me. I can trust him. Part of that great ride that we have with him through life is learning to trust him each step along the way. And then we're going to get to Friday. And Friday we're going to sum it all up, because the thing that makes it all possible, makes it all work, is his ultimate love. His ultimate love. The way God showed his love to his people in the Old Testament, he gave them a law. You say, well, law, that's rules. We don't like rules. But he knew that the best way to love those folks was to help them learn how to do life in a way that made sense and in a way that they would take care of each other. And so he gave them the rules on how to play the game right. He gave them the boundaries so they'd know how to be safe. Within these boundaries, life will make sense and you'll be safe. He loved them enough to provide that security for them. And then when Jesus came, he said, you know, those boundaries are good. Those commandments are good. We're not going to erase them and pretend they didn't happen. Instead, we're going to fulfill them and make them help you see that they were pointing to me. And in me, Jesus says, you can really learn the best commandment, and that is to love. Love the Lord your God with everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, God loved us so much that he had an ultimate plan, and he shared, he demonstrated his ultimate power because he loved us. And because he loved us, he brought that ultimate rescue. And we can experience that when we trust him, all because he loved us that much. And so Jesus says, since I loved you that much, be like me and love each other with that kind of love. And so he teaches us a new commandment I give to you, a new boundary I set for you to keep you safe and happy and secure, a new boundary, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So let me ask you this morning, have you experienced that kind of relationship with the Lord? Are you riding with him? Are you hoping that one day at the end of your trail, he's going to say, let's start a new adventure together. Come ride with me, friend. Do you have that kind of relationship where you have experienced his ultimate love, where you've really trusted in him? Where you put your whole life in his hands because you know he has ultimate power, where you've trusted in the plan that he has for you. Have you done that? If you've never really accepted Christ and trusted him fully, I want to encourage you to do that right now. Let's not leave today till we get that settled. Jeremy's going to come and he's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And as we sing together, if the Lord would call you to give your life to him, to really trust him, to experience that ultimate love, would you come and let's pray about that together? Maybe he calls you to join the church or to follow through in missions or ministry, whatever it is he may call you to do. If he calls you to take a step for him in a public way, now's your time. Would you come and let's worship the Lord together by giving him who we are, by trusting him. All right? Let's stand together.